To those who are listening by the radio this morning, we have a special speaker. Her name is Mavis Gerkowski. She's from Good Thunder. We are just delighted to have Mavis and Jeff with us, and Mavis Gerkowski will be sharing the morning message. God bless you, Mavis. Welcome.
Thank you.
Will you?
Well, we just had a great weekend with all the women here and just an awesome, awesome time. And we're so blessed to be here. And I'll speak more about the church. Can I just mention a few things that we have on our table? Is that okay? We're recording all the messages from this weekend, and it will include the message today. And if you'd like to receive those, we'll ship them to you free as long as you prepay for them while you're here. You can sign up. Jeff will take care of you with that. And anyway, it's just, you know, you get impacted at a conference, and then you go home, and life smacks you, you know. Praise God, right? And so you really need those messages to keep alive and not let the enemy steal the seeds that were sown in your hearts and lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, a couple more things. We have tons of product we brought with us. If there's questions you have about anything or are looking for a particular area of study, we'd be glad to help you. We also have a monthly newsletter that we send out if you're not receiving that. And to some homes, we have to send two of these because the husband and wife don't want to share. Or sometimes the kids want their own copy, and we love to do that because we just want to sow the word into your heart. And it's just a one-page article that we send to you, so that's available back there. Another brand new thing we have is we have a little brochure about our ministry. You know, sometimes we're here and we speak, we do women's conferences, but we do a lot more than that. We do prison ministry. We have a mobile ministry school. We have done internet radio for like 9 or 10 years. And so there's just learning about us and what we do. And so that's available back there to see what we're up to. And then also some of you have been, I don't know, I think we've been friends with some of you for like 10 or 11 years. And finally, here is the book that I've been talking about. We can have a little clap and thank you, Jesus, over that. Amen. And I told the ladies over the weekend, I said, it's a hard thing to be pregnant with something for 11 years. So it's finally out. The book is out. And so those are available for you there. And we're going to talk a little bit about honor today. Also have a brand new series on honor, the Reformation of Honor. I think it's such a critical topic. I really believe most of our issues in our government, in our schools, in our marriages, in our families could be solved if we would learn how to honor. Okay, anybody interested in a deeper study on honor? Oh, back here, she had her hand up first. I would like to throw it. Trish, can you hand it to the lady behind you? I have almost knocked people's heads off, so it's just not a good thing to keep doing that. Oh my gosh. So I had to kind of stop that just for safety reasons. I love, you know, you just think you play sports in high school and you can just keep going, but I lost my touch or something. So, God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this amazing church, God. I have been so blessed to be here, and I just sense so much in my heart that God is just connecting our hearts in a deeper way, and I'm so thankful for that. There's just such a love that you're birthing in my heart, God, for this church, and I thank you. I thank you for the pastors. I thank you for the worship where we can experience your presence, God. Thank you. Thank you for this great church that's filled with generations of believers. I love to see the generations. And God, I just ask you this morning as we speak your word, God, would you enlighten our eyes to see what the Spirit is saying? God, these are such critical times, Father, and you're aligning our hearts with your purposes, God. We are on the verge of a great awakening in this nation, God, and it always has been in the darkest of times that you break through and visit a people, God, and we're asking for that even as we stand before your throne today. God, break through and visit this nation. God, I pray that the words of my mouth would be pleasing in your sight today, but they would also be penetrating into our hearts, God. They would penetrate deeply into our hearts and bring transformation. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I really believe that God is stirring the waters. I don't know. It just seems like something is happening. And when we look on the surface, you know, things don't look that great. But underneath, I believe God is really stirring the waters of revival and awakening in our nation. We have some copies of our 2017 word on the table as well as if you'd like to take those. I'm going to share a little bit here about that because I really believe there. Last year, around this time, actually in November when the elections took place, I believe a great shift began in our nation. Now, I'm not talking about a political agenda or a political party. Something happened with that election. Amen. It was so unexpected. Nobody thought it would happen. But there was I believe what it was showing us is that there's a deep cry in the heart of the people of this nation for something different, for change. And the best part about that is, you know, the change isn't going to come in government. Thank God for government. You better vote and do your part in that. Amen. But a government will never save a nation.
That's right. Amen.
If government could save a nation, it would already happen by now. Amen. We need God to save a nation. We need God to break in and bring change in this nation. But I think what happened is in that election time, it's indicative of a people hungry for something different. And I believe they're ripe for the answer, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's not a political shift, but I think it's really the birth pangs of spiritual change. Amen. And I believe in this year, the Lord told me that I am changing the entire landscape of the church. And he began to speak to me about Reformation. I had no idea that this was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's actually on Tuesday. Isn't that amazing? 500 years. And so how all that stuff connects. But I just want to speak some things into your life. Is the hardships of your last season will become the stepping stones of your new season.
Amen.
Praise God. Our poverty will become our promotion, and our heartache will be a platform for our high places. There will be a wiping out of all that correlates with failure and darkness. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. And those are great words to stand on. Some key words, I believe, for this new season is alignment and order and honor. And we've been speaking all weekend about alignment and order and recalibration. Actually, that was a word God gave us for this conference, was recalibration. And that means we need to make some adjustments. We talked about a specific example of a NASA person that said, if you're just off 2 degrees when you launch that rocket, you'll miss the moon by 11,000 blah, blah, blah miles. You wouldn't think 2 degrees would make that much difference, would you? But it's a huge difference. And so God wants to make these little changes. And I think in our country, if we look at our country and sometimes if we look at the church, one of the things that has been resounding in my heart, and I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this in your life, but how did I get here? You know, you're sometimes in your season, you just think, how did I get to this place in my life? How did I get here? And I look at our country often, I think, how did we get here? You know, how did we get to this place in our country where we can't have an election almost without national upheaval? What's going on with that? Where is our respect and our honor and our dignity and where's our patriotism and the pride in our country? And how did we get here? You know, we have longed for the works of God and the power of God to be released. And I believe the manifestations that we are looking for are tied to the honor of God and its display. Honor is a necessary component in our ability to steward what God's going to be pouring out. I believe, you know, we talk a lot about the wineskins, and I believe the wineskin, part of that wineskin is honor. Because if God's going to pour out this tremendous awakening, we need to be able to hold what he's pouring out. And I don't think we'll ever be able to contain what God's pouring out without honor. Amen. It's a word that I believe has almost become extinct in our society. Okay, you can say amen anytime. I'll be okay with that. As we uncover and begin to increase in our learning of this biblical principle, I think we need honor. If, you know, how many of us want to walk in greater things in our lives, want to see greater things in our families, greater things in our country? If we want to do those things, we have to learn how to honor. And I'm not just here, and this is one of the burdens of my heart. The more I've had several churches have me come and just do entire seminars on honor this year, just because of the book coming out. And it's not about, for me, moving books. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? We have to get this message. okay? We have to get this message in our hearts, and we have to allow this message to shape and change how we view God, how we view each other, and how we view the work of God in the earth. Amen? It's such a critical message. Honor really is a key element in experiencing the abundant life. And you'll see some principles as I'm sharing that today. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 11:3 that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe honor is one of those foundation stones, either in a marriage, in a family, in a business, in a ministry. Is if we remove that, it's like removing the cornerstone and the whole house falls down. You know, there's important messages, but, you know, and I don't know, maybe God just lit up my heart with this word honor. But as I began to see it, I began to see so many examples in life and in ministry. Actually, this message was birthed back in 2006 in our church, and we went through a terrible split. We lost about 100 people out of our church, and it was devastating. Some marriages broke up. It was an awful season. But it was like the Lord opened my eyes that if people would have just known how to honor, we could have worked through our differences, we could have worked through that situation, and we could have all gone forward together. And I believe this is what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to unify our hearts in a way. You know, have you ever read the blessings of unity in the New Testament? That's actually the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out in part because of a unity that the church had achieved. Amen. And if we're ever going to have unity and be a united force for God in the earth, we're going to have to learn how to honor. Amen? Amen. Sometimes it helps in understanding a principle, especially something like honor, is to look at its opposite. Okay? And so I'm hoping as we teach on this and as we learn about this more, that we'll begin to look at the opposite of this thing and we'll be able to see, oh yeah, I understand what honor is. So let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And this is really the key scripture where the Lord began unveiling this to me. Are you ready to go deeper this morning?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 6 will begin in verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country. So he's going home. Yay, right? He gets to go. I mean, how many of you love home? Come on. Let's go home. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in that synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? So he's doing an amazing teaching. And they're just like, whoa, this guy's amazing. How and what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? And so they're seeing God, this guy is definitely with God. He is so awesome. God is moving through his life. And then verse 3, there's a shift. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. What happens is they're looking at Jesus and they're seeing him spiritually doing amazing things, doing miracles, doing wisdom flowing out of his mouth. And they're all in awe of who Jesus is. And suddenly their gaze shifts from the heavenly awesomeness of Jesus to, don't we know this guy? I think some of the women were whispering, you know, I changed his diapers. Who does he think he is? And this is the danger, and this is one of the key facets of functioning in dishonor, is a little thing called familiarity. Ooh. We can become so familiar with something or someone that we see them according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. Amen. And I don't have time to go into that in depth, but I want to enter that in. And this literally, I mean, any of you know how dangerous offense is? Like super dangerous, right? And this familiarity birthed in them an offense. Who does this guy think he is? I don't want to have that kind of heart. Amen. But look at this. Now, how many of you all are reading red letter Bibles? Any of you have red letter Bibles? Okay. Do you see some little red letters coming up in our story? Okay. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, and he healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now, for years, I cut my teeth on the faith message, went to a faith school. I praise God for my faith training. Amen. For years, I was taught that Jesus couldn't do any works there because of their unbelief. And I believe it's part of it, but I think the greater issue can be found in the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say that the cause was? A prophet is not without what? Not faith, right? But it's honor. And there, I really believe there is a link between honor and faith. If we won't honor God's word, we'll never have faith. Look at your neighbor and said, she just saved your life right there. Right? If we don't learn how to honor, it takes away the whole foundation of all that we believe, all that we are. Amen? Yeah. And in this situation, how many of you are believing for miracles? Right? We prayed for a miracle for a little guy this morning in pre-service prayer. The world needs miracles, but we will never see the outbreak of miracles until we can learn how to honor. Okay? And this doesn't mean, now, the thing I fight when I teach on this is not a legalistic message where you have to have all your ducks in a row or God can't use you. Come on. God's bigger than our mistakes and he's bigger than our weaknesses. But there's also limiters that if we knowingly allow them to function in our lives are definitely going to limit the work of God. Think about the power that Jesus has. Okay? Son of God. I mean, he blew the snot out of the devil more than one time, right? Raised the dead, multiplied bread. I mean, he did crazy miracles when he was here, right? But in his own hometown, because they saw him in a way that wasn't honoring, it limited the power coming through the Son of God. So how much more is it going to hinder us as mere humans, right? If we don't learn how to honor, or let's do the reverse of that. If we learn how to honor and hold the word of God in high esteem, honor each other and love each other and walk in honor towards one another, that's going to open the heavens for us for miracles and the power of God and the anointing of God and the presence of God to flow down on our world. And that's why I felt, you know, I've taught the message of honor many times, but I thought this church is it's like on the precipice of just exploding. That's what I feel in my spirit, that God has set so many tiers of generations here. There's mothers and fathers in place. There's maturity here. There's hunger here. There's fire here. There's so much set in place here for the God to launch you into reaching this community. But we must learn how to honor. Amen. For generations, we've watched move of God's come and go. And I don't know, I have such a hunger in my heart to watch a move of God come and stay. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah. A place, wouldn't you love to be a place where people knew they could come and get healed? Yes. I mean, knew it. Yes. Where people would come from miles, that, you know, get a diagnosis of cancer. You've got to go to COC. They can help you there. Amen. Come on. You see, this is what I'm talking about. But if we're going to walk in those greater works, we must learn how to honor. The devil delights to bring division and all kinds of craziness. Why? Because he wants to disrupt the work of the kingdom. He wants to disrupt the release of miracles and help. Why? Miracles aren't really for the church. Jesus used those to draw people to the Lord. Amen. We can, as believers, we can walk in divine health. Amen. God has all of the promises of the cross are for us. Yes. But miracles really are, some evangelists call them the dinner bell of the gospel. Have you ever heard that term? Oh my, it's a new one for you then. All right. The dinner bell. You know, do you have one out at the farm? A dinner bell? Awesome. I should have had that ring. I had a tour out there yesterday. I'm telling you, it was like being in a movie. I loved it. I had so much fun on the farm. I loved it. The dinner bell. Can you see God holding a great big bell and ringing it so it can be heard? I want honor to ring in our hearts. Amen? Amen. So that we can see this. You know, some people say, well, you can't limit God. Who can limit God? Okay, let's look at Psalm 78. You know, you got to break down these sacred cows. Otherwise, they'll moo And you won't be able to hear God because you hear this religious voice saying, well, you can't limit God. How many of you heard that? You can't limit God. I might have even said that myself. Psalm 78, look at this. How often, this is in context because we don't have time to dig around every verse, but in context, this is talking about the children of Israel in their wilderness years. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him, grieved God in the desert. Psalm 78:40 and verse 41. Yes, again and again, they tempted God. And what does that word say? Limited. In my New King James, it says limited. Okay? They grieved him and they tested him again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. In my New King James, it says they limited. I'm telling you, if there's anything I don't want to do is I don't want to limit God in my life. Amen? I want God to have free reign. Okay, pour it on God, right? I don't want to be limiting God in my life. Look at, and let's just look at verse 42 as long as we're right here. They did not remember his power and the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. And I was just thinking this about this morning. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's just for myself. But we lose power when we don't remember. And sometimes I would think it'd be good for all of us to go back and remember what God saved us from. You know what? We can get pretty confident and cocky sometimes, and we don't remember the mess we were when God found us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I was quite a mess when he found me. Amen. Can we just say that out loud? And it's good for us to remember the power of God that saved me from death and gave me life. Amen. The power of God that broke in and broke me out of sin and broke me into holiness. Come on. The power of God to remember that, because people need that testimony. Amen. We don't want to be limiting the power of God. Amen. Ephesians 4 talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a real principle in the Word. Let's look at Matthew 15. I have so much to give you. I mean, I just feel like I want to pour myself into this church because I feel like you're going somewhere. I love that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. For God commanded, saying, this is Jesus teaching here, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Now, I don't know what dying the death is, but I don't want to do that. Right? Seriously. I mean, some stuff you don't have to understand in the Bible. You just think, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to honor. Amen? He says, honor your father and mother. Let's keep going here in verse 5. But you say, now, this is a key principle. I teach all of this at length in the book. But notice here, it starts in verse 4. It says, what does your Bible says? It says, God commanded. Okay? And in verse 5, it says, but you say. And here's a dangerous thing when we're saying something different than what God is saying. And that's a sure sign of dishonor. Okay? Because God says something, but we say something different. We make up our own rules. And our whole world is full of this now. Situational ethics. You know, I even heard this thing where they wanted the Boy Scouts to drop their honor code. Terrible. Right? Well, we wouldn't want to have any standards for anybody to live up to. Would we? We wouldn't want to challenge anybody to have a better life, would we? We might offend someone. Oh man, don't start me. It might be too late. All right. But you say, and this is what happened, is actually the Pharisees of that day had made up a rule that you didn't have to take care of your parents as long as you gave the money to the synagogue. But God said what? Honor your father and mother, right? Wow. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it's a gift. See, it was talking about taking that money that was supposed to take care of your parents by whatsoever thou mightest profit by me. Look at verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. In other words, their man-made traditions freed them from what the word of God said. Thus, and see, this is Jesus, what Jesus is saying. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What this is saying is that if we're saying something different from the word of God, and that to make of none effect is an interesting term. It's actually a legal term, and it means it invalidates it, or it robs it of force and authority. Now listen, I spend a whole chapter or maybe even two in the book talking about honoring the word of God. We have to understand if we take our honor away from the word of God, it's like taking honor away from God itself. Amen. And the word of God is so powerful. It's the reason you're living. It's the reason you're born again. We're born again through the word of God. It's a powerful, living organism is the word of God. Amen. But we as human beings, if we hold our traditions in higher esteem, can take away the force and the authority from the very word of God. Ouch. You can say ouch or amen, either one. But it means to reject it and to disregard it. We cannot treat the word of God that way. Amen. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified. I don't know if you have other translations back there, but I'll just read it for you. So for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you've set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority, making it of no effect. And I'm going to go on to verse 7 and 8. You pretenders, we learned about hypocrites this weekend. Amen. You hypocrites, admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, honor isn't something we just display outwardly. It has to be, it's really a posture of the heart that we have. Yes. We honor inwardly and then our honor will be shown outwardly. Amen. I want to look at this spiritual law in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I hope you got your receivers ready. We're about out of the introduction now. We're getting ready to get started. Here we go. I'm scaring you. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 29. Okay, the context of this story, Eli and the sons are going crazy, doing whatever they want, living any way they want. The problem with this is they're priests. Okay, so again, they're making up their own rules, doing what they want to do. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, God is actually rebuking Eli. Why do you kick at my sacrifices and my offerings, which I've commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? Wow. We can honor other people even above God. Ouch. Don't go there, please. To make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. In other words, there was a promise of generational blessing and perpetuation. But now, see, the fact that they had walked in dishonor even changed the promise of God over this generation. Yikes. Isn't that scary? But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those, and here's the spiritual law, and this is a key to understanding the principle. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This is a spiritual law. If we function in honor, we literally open up over our lives a way for God to bring honor to us. Now, that's amazing. That makes me want to honor even more. But listen to this. If I promise to honor you, that would be one thing. I could stand up here and say, you know, Stan is an awesome man. He lives in honor and he's, you know, and that's one thing for me to be honoring Stan. But can you imagine what the honor of God looks like poured out over your life? It's amazing. I'm telling you, we don't have time to go into all those rewards today. But the honor, when you release honor, and it comes, true honor comes when it's hardest. It isn't when all situations are perfect or everything's right. When we release honor, it opens the way for God to release honor on us. And that comes in a plethora of blessings. Goes on to say that because they were living in dishonor, it released premature death over his family. Actually, both of his sons died within a very short time. Dishonor is really serious. And I don't think we've understood how serious living in honor is. In fact, if we went on to the first verse in chapter 3 of Samuel, it says, the end part of that verse says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. I believe we can live in such depths of dishonor that it even limits the revelation that God's able to bring to us. How many of us want more revelation? I do. I want the God to open revelation to me. Well, if I want that, then I want to live in honor so that there's more revelation flowing to me. Amen. This is really a critical aspect. Honor is both, I'm not going to take time to read the definitions. I spend considerable time on that in the book. But it was interesting to me to find out that honor was both a noun and a verb. It was something we have and something we do. So it's something we possess on the inside and something we understand and we admire. But it's also something we do. It has to be, honor has to be an action. Another thing that I found is that honor, the word honorable in the Old Testament, is literally the same word for glory. And many times you'll see this word honor and glory translated from the same Hebrew word. It's literally the essence. It has its roots and its foundations and its very essence in God. I think it's Psalm 104 that says God is clothed with glory and honor. If you were to run into God today on the street, you'd run into honor and glory because that's what's encircling him. And if we're going to walk in his likeness, what ought to be encircling us? Honor, right? Amen. I really, literally believe that our society, our cultural, our values, our core values, even in the church, have slipped so much. We need to spend time just understanding this at its basic premise. We need an understanding of what it means to function in honor. So I spend considerable time in the book defining it. But one area that I want to focus on, and this is what I felt like the Lord was leading to me, because the book's 237 pages. It could have probably been 500. But thank God for mercy, right? And abridging and an assistant that says, no, that's enough. You know, don't write anymore. But one area of our focus today for recalibration is I think we need to look at honor in regards to relationships. Amen? If we really want to open up to experience the power of God, we have to come into order in our relationship. Rebellion always leads to destruction because it's stepping outside of God's order. Flowing in God's order always brings blessing. And if we honor, even when we're not being honored, we'll be blessed. Amen. We have seen honor tied to this glory aspect. And glory is everything that makes God God. But God has a different value system than we do. Okay, think about heaven. All right? I like to think about it. It's beautiful. And one of the things that most people think about heaven is the streets of gold. Now think about this. If we would be translated to heaven right now, we would be breaking up that pavement to bring it back here. You know you would. Anybody just like to pay off their mortgage? Like, bam, right? That just take a chunk out of the streets of gold in heaven, right? Come on, you would do it. I know you would. Because why? We value gold here. But gold to God is just street stuff they walk on, normal, everyday stuff, right? So what does God value? God values people. That's what God values. He values that more than anything. Why? For God so loved the
world.
What do you think God's greatest asset was? His son. And he gave his greatest asset so that we could know God too. So he didn't give his greatest asset for all the oil in the world, or all the gold in the world, or all the gems and jewels in the world. He gave his son for all of us, for people. God values people. And see, part of learning honor then is that we have to learn to value what God values. Yeah. Amen? And that's a shift in our priorities, right? Oh my gosh, I could meddle right there, but I'm not going to do it. Holding myself back. People are valuable to God. Honoring one another is of great importance in God's economy, right? I want to move ahead here to, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Are y'all doing okay? And I just want to echo Pastor, too, get into 1 Corinthians 12 because it talks all about body ministry there. It's a body. Isn't it amazing that God calls us the body? Now, we in Christianese, we just think, we're the body, we're the body, we're the body. But you forget that every body has a what?
A spirit.
A spirit, exactly, and a head. A body without a head is pretty dead. And we even made a rhyme. That's pretty good. Right? So the body is connected with the head, right? Very important principle. Look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. And it goes on to say in Romans 12 about how the body ought not to fight about a foot or a finger or a hand or thinking you're the best part. I mean, try to go without a foot. You're going to be missing that foot, right? Or a hand or an ear, anything. There's no insignificant parts. But I don't always use the NIV, but I love it in verse 5. It says this, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's a pretty amazing way to say it. What if we treated each other like we belonged to each other? I mean, have you ever said this to your kids in some measure or form? That you belong in this family, and that's not how a Kurkowski acts, or that's not how you put your last name in there. Why? Because you belong to one another. There's an identification. Right? Did the Jorgensens ever say that? You're a Jorgensen, right? You probably don't have to. They have this perfect family with 10 kids. It's awesome. You're a Jorgensen, for heaven's sakes, right? We say that. Why? There should be some ownership in that, right? And so we take that on. You're the body, right? We should tell if someone strays, we should say, you're in the body. You belong to us. You don't belong out there being crazy and doing other stuff. You belong to us. Not in a controlling way. Come on. In a love way. That's not your identity. This is who you are. Be who you are. And loving each other enough to care and go after. Jesus did that. He left the 99 and went after the one. Amen? Amen. But this body is honorable. And if we did look in 1 Corinthians 12, 23 through 24, he even uses this honor. Let's look at it. You know, we always try to rush and I always try to fit a lot in. But let's just look at this. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our presentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, and that there should be no schism in the body. I mean, you would not cut your own body in half. And I think this is why he uses the body, because the body's pretty important to us. Would you just give your arm up to somebody? No, you want to keep that body together. What if we fought for our unity like that? Come on, you guys. Right? There's no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. For one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. There's directives throughout the scriptures of how we are supposed to act as a body. And you'll have to forgive me for teaching off my iPad. I hope it doesn't bother anybody. But I got here and I'm looking over my notes, realizing that they all didn't print off. It's kind of a freaky thing for a teacher to not have all of your notes, right? Okay, so let me just give you a couple. 19 times in the New Testament, it tells us to love one another. He must have thought we'd need to hear it more than once. Oh my gosh. Okay, and love not as the world loves, but love one another. 19 times, he's loved it, says it, awesome. But here, let's go to Romans 12, 10. Okay, this is a verse I want to focus on. Be kindly affectioned to one another. I love that. Romans 12, 10. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. Look at this. In honor, giving preference to one another. So how are we supposed to treat each other in the body of Christ? With honor. Easy, all the quizzes are easy today. But also this phrase, kindly affectioned, that literally means to cherish. It's the only time that it's found in the New Testament. It's the word philios, which means to be a friend, to be fond of, to love dearly. Or, and I like this phrase too, to be prone to love. You know, we're prone to a lot of things. You know, I mean, maybe not you. I'll just talk about myself. You know, I've had years of God delivering me from a quick temper. Amen. Can anybody say amen, sister? I'm still on the road. Amen. Just quick tongue, you know, and God or the enemy will go after your gift. So I've had to learn to bridle my tongue, bridle my mouth. Amen. But we're prone to a lot of things. How do we respond when we're squeezed? Like that tea bag. How do we respond in the hot water? Are we prone to love? When someone pushes on us, do we push back with love? Oh my gosh, I guess that was more convicting than I thought. All right. In honor, giving preference to one another. This word honor is the Greek word timē, and it's valuing someone by which a price is fixed. Amen. That's why the subtitle of our book is Honor, a Currency of Heaven, because honor literally has a monetary weight in heaven. And there's a honor that is due God. Have you ever heard that term when you're reading the Bible, the honor that is due God? There's literally monetary language used with this, okay? In honor, giving preference to one another. What would the body of Christ look like if we began preferring one another? For years, we've watched each other fight for the best spot. Come on. Oh, say, don't look at me now, right? We think more about ourselves, and we live in a society which is being more self-focused now than it ever has been. All the selfies and the I and the me, right? Okay. And it's all a plan to get us off of the scriptures. Okay. But what if, I mean, I envision a church where we open the door for one another, right? And they were like, you first, no, me first, no, you first, no, you first, no, you first. And nobody will ever come in the church because we're all preferring. But it'd be a fun problem to have, wouldn't it? Preferring one another. Giving deference, deferring to one another. No, you do it today. I want to hear your voice today. Or, you know, just like Pastor, I love how Pastor was honoring all the other men that preach here. And you say, no, we're going to make room for this person. What is he doing? Yeah. Come on. Honoring. He's honoring. He's deferring. He's preferring. Amen. Now he's been, how many years have you been in ministry, Pastor?
Since the flood.
Oh my gosh, I can't even calculate that in my brain.
46.
Sorry to ask you on the spot. So do you think he has a few sermons stored up, right? And he could just say, I'm the lead pastor. No, what is he doing though? He's mentoring and he's preferring and he's honoring. You see, in that atmosphere, God can begin to open some things up. Come on. And the humility is a key concept in connection with honor. You can't honor without having humility. Spend several chapters of that in the book. I think humility is missing from the church too. Amen. Now, whenever I say church, I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about the church. Of course, it's not you. Of course, it's not. I'm just speaking, okay? All right, yeah. What does God value? What does God value? Again, we told you, right? People. So we have to learn how to honor people. 1 Peter, let me read you this. 1 Peter 2:17 out of the Amplified. Show respect for all men. And it says in parentheses, treat them honorably. I'm telling you this situation. That's why I have such a burning passion to get this message out. Because I think we've forgotten. We've forgotten about honor. And we don't realize really biblically how key it is to really experiencing the kingdom in our lives. Amen. What if, here's some simple application. What about words like thank you, please, I'm sorry, honor. Amen. In simple little words like that, showing kindness, treating each other respectfully. I mean, here, a simple thing like this, eye contact. You walk around now in towns everywhere, nobody's looking at you, right? Everybody's looking at their phones or looking down or people are not prone to make eye contact. What if we were just a people even drawing people in with our eyes and smiling? That's honoring that other person in a very small way, right? To me, the church ought to be the most welcoming, friendly, open place that we've ever seen. Right. And what's going to cause that to happen? when we learn how to honor and value what God values. Amen. I love being able to preach this here because I feel like God is placing you, not just because it's harvest time here and that's happening, but we are on the verge of the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen. There's going to be a great harvest before Jesus returns. Let's just get the party started.
Amen.
Right? Let's just do it. Maybe we can kickstart the thing. What do you think? What did you see if we could try to do that? But I believe that God is stretching us with this message, the message of honor. You know, it's one thing to write a book, and it's another thing to get that message out to the world. And it's a message that I don't think everybody always wants to hear because it's going to require something of us. And it's not an easy thing to do, but I'm telling you, the rewards are beyond what we can ever imagine. And it holds really the key to everything we're waiting for. Amen. Okay, God takes how we honor each other very seriously. Do you remember Saul when he was on the Damascus Road and he was knocked on his blessed assurance? You remember that? And God said, that's a nice way of saying, you know what? He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Is that what God said to him? Why are you persecuting me? So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, sees people as the same as himself. That's how seriously God takes how we treat one another. God help us not to be held accountable for all of it. Amen. Remember also in Matthew 25 when he said, when you've done it to the least of these, good job. No, he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. God takes very seriously how we treat people. Good or negatively, amen? Okay, can I give you just like five things on how to show honor? Because we you know, honor is so important. We can talk about it, like I could talk about it till midnight, and then somebody would fall out of a window, and then it wouldn't be good. You know that story in the New Testament. He's my cousin. All right. Honor, one of the first keys. It's by accepting, okay? We have to accept it. We have to receive God's perspective. We have to be willing to say, I think I know what honor is, but I might not really get it, you know? Because we have to do it God's way. Remember one of the first verses we looked at where it says, God commanded, but you say. You know, we've got to be saying the same thing that God is saying. Second thing, by acknowledging. We have to actually live in it. We have to acknowledge it. I think a great way to do this is referring to people correctly and honorably. Now, I might be old school, but I always think you ought to call pastor, pastor. Amen? Amen. I'll amen that myself all day. You're in churches sometime where they're calling them by their first name, and it grieves my spirit because I believe there's a certain honor that you show when you bestow a title. Now, none of us are in this for the title, amen, but it's a simple way that we can show honor. It's just simple, you know? Like, I believe I have a great friend, and she's rebuked me so many times for this, a great friend that's a doctor. She's a medical doctor. She's a great friend of mine, and I always call her Dr. Caroline. And she says, you don't have to call me doctor. I said, no, I do, because you spent the time, you've got the education. I want to honor what you've done with your life. You see, this isn't a message that I just studied some scriptures and put some words together. I want to live this with my life. Amen? Treating people right out of respect for God. I think one of the greatest examples of that is, remember Saul and David. That would be a huge study, a great study to do. When David was being treated wrongly, what did he do? He still honored Saul. Amen? He still did. You remember that? There was two times I remember specifically when he went and cut his cloak just to show him, like, hey, Saul, I don't mean to hurt you. But it smote his own heart. That's what the scriptures say. His own heart was broken because he felt like he dishonored him. What a tender heart before the Lord. No wonder God could use a man like that. Amen. The third thing, and this is kind of a funny word, but I wanted another A, by acquiescing. Okay. And that literally means to yield or submit. To yield or submit. It's the S word. Yep. It's all for all of us. We need to recognize our place, and this all goes with order, and respond honorably and admirably to those that God has placed over us. Amen. There's a man called Watchman Nee. Have any of you read any of his books? He tells a story about how he, whenever he would walk into a room, he would immediately find out who was in charge so that he could bring himself under the authority. There's another story in the scriptures where the soldier, remember the soldier that got the great miracle? And he says, I'm a man under authority. See, there's something about understanding being under authority that releases miracles in our lives. It's a huge deal, and it's tied to honor. By appreciation, I think that's another way that we can show honor, by appreciation. One of the best definitions I kind of made up about honor is really giving your best. You know, I might not be able to do what Stan can do, but I can do the best that I can do, right? Honor is really giving your best. Amen? All right. Appreciating people in spheres of influence. Is that the last one? Yeah, they think that's the last one. All right. I believe that God wants to change nations. Anybody with me? Especially ours, because I live here. I want this nation changed. Amen. But the word of God and the principle is honor is so powerful. If we had time, we'd look at Ezra. You can look at this yourself. Ezra 9 and 10, where literally Ezra trembled at the word of God. And the people stood all day in the rain to hear the word of God. And you know what happened? It changed a nation. It changed a nation. God is into changing nations. Amen. Remember what Jesus told us? Go into all the world and make what? Disciples what? Of all nations. God is into reaching the nations. And I love it. You can reach nations right where you're at. Amen. You're doing it. I love it. Okay, to finish up, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Are y'all doing okay? All right. I want us to get this so bad. I wish I had more words or better words, but it's just so important. Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse 22. Honor is eternal. You know, some things that we do are just going to are going to pass away, and they won't matter this way or that way. But what we do in honor is going to matter for eternity. Look at this powerful verse at the end of your Bibles, Revelations 21, 22. My heading has the glory of New Jerusalem. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Powerful. Amen.